Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Eric Deegan leads a double life in television. He's National Public Radio's critic on What the Tube Offers, and he's a key player with the Peabody Awards, considered the most prized honor for TV and other media. And he joins me next. Also on deck, a couple of news note quickies, our latest classic trivia question of the week winner, and a change in NBC's primetime Olympic guard. I'll comment. Hello, everyone. I'm Scott Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy to have you with us this Friday afternoon for the show All About the Tube. 31 degrees at the top of the hour. We're gone past the snow. Hopefully tomorrow when it gets in the mid-40s here in the metro area, a lot of that will melt. We're glad to have you aboard. We invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, you calling us. And here's what you do. You raise your voice, pick up the phone, dial in with this. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anyway, you'll catch us across the country or around the globe right here on Blog Talk Radio. Another way you participate is our chat room. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we're just waiting for you to be in the room and be involved in the program. And while the program is on the air, you can connect with us by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on the Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Before we get to today's guest, we have three news note quickies. All 3 hours of Shonda Rhimes' Thursday night lineup on ABC, we're talking Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, and How to Get Away with Murder, will return for a new season this fall. CBS will invest in Capital Entertainment, the multi-series company from executive producer Aaron Kaplan, who was on this program several years ago. And Charter has agreed not to drop Univision and its sister channels from their cable systems until the end of the month. A mediator will meet with both organizations next week to jumpstart a new carriage deal. The date? Valentine's Day. And that's news notes for today. And now joining us live from Washington, D.C., National Public Radio TV critic Eric Deegan. Eric, it's great to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me.
So here we are, almost a month and a half into 2017. What's your favorite new show so far?
Oh, my God. There are so many shows to pick from. Are we talking since the fall, or are we talking since 2017 started? What's our demarcation line here?
Let's look for the benefit. Let's talk on a calendar basis. Let's get 2017.
2017, my favorite show of 2017. I have to say my favorite shows from 2017 haven't yet debuted. As you know, being a critic, we get to see shows in advance. We get to see stuff before it actually debuts. And so I've seen a lot of great stuff that's coming, but the stuff that's debuted so far, I have been less excited by. Stuff like The 24, continuation. Legion on FX is visually really stunning, but the plot is still a bit of a question mark for me. I'm not as enamored of that as I thought I would be. I am really looking forward to Crackle's version of Snatch. Crackle's doing a version of that British gangster movie, and it's very well done, and it looks really wonderful. Given that, you know, Crackle doesn't have a long history with scripted entertainment, it's really a surprise, but it's very good. I'm enjoying some of the new stuff that's on BET. They have a show called The Quad that's about a historically black college. And it's a bit of a soap opera. So people who don't like soap opera, nighttime soap operas may not like it, but I think it's an interesting show, and it gets at what's unique about being at a historically black college, while also talking about all the stuff that people in college just kind of go through. So I'm liking that show a little bit. I'm still enjoying This Is Us, and I know it debuted in the fall, but it will wrap up on the 17th of March, and that's a show that's just had a fantastic first season. And finally, I will mention a show that's going to debut in March called Feud, from Ryan Murphy, the creator of Glee and American Horror Story. This is another anthology series that's about classic feuds. The first one is going to be about the feud between Bette Davis and Joan Crawford. And Jessica Lange plays Joan Crawford, and Susan Sarandon plays Bette Davis. And they are really good in the roles. I've seen the first two episodes. And the art direction in this is amazing. It really captures the vibe of old Hollywood, but it also talks about contemporary themes like how female starlets are pitted against each other, ageism in Hollywood, and how men running these film studios sort of drove these talented women to compete with each other in a way that was unhealthy and ultimately very destructive for both of them. So those are the shows that I would mention sort of off the top of my head.
I want to go back to This Is Us momentarily, but I wanted to ask you more about BET because it was 10 months ago that Deborah Lee was at a New York stage and said, we are making a major move in the scripted television. And here they are now, and so far this year they've had the New Edition story, which has done very well. The second miniseries is on now, Medieval with the Nelson Mandela miniseries with Lawrence Fishburne. You mentioned The Quad, which I have to say is really getting a lot more attention than I thought it was going to get. And then, of course, you had yesterday the news that BET is going to be one of the six core services that Viacom, under its reorganization, are going to is going to put more resources and more emphasis on. And I'm curious what you think about what BET is up to, and also what TV One is up to, because this is the year that supposedly they are now starting to make more original movies and maybe finally get a scripted TV or scripted drama.
Right. Well, I mean, part of it is I think we've reached a point in the industry where scripted television is where channels build their brand now. Netflix and Amazon and Hulu have all built their businesses around very strong scripted television. And so I think that's seeped into the cable business now. And where we used to see cable channels try to redefine their brand or establish their brand with a string of unscripted shows, now people are spending more money and they're creating quality scripted drama, and it's a way of announcing that they have arrived, that they really are players. And so it's not just BET and TV One that are doing this. You know, MTV and VH1 are also stepping up with some widely anticipated scripted shows, including VH1 doing The Breaks, this series about the growth of the rap scene in the 90s that's supposed to be a more realistic version of, say, a 90s version of The Get Down that was on Netflix. So I think this is a dynamic that we're seeing on a lot of channels. But what's interesting to me about BET is that BET has tried this before, number one. When Reginald Hudlin was tapped to run the channel many years ago, he said that he was going to try and bring quality scripted entertainment to BET. But the problem was he didn't have the money to do it. And so the shows they created didn't look like they could compete with high-quality scripted dramas. And the difference now, as you say, is that Viacom seems to have made BET a corporate priority, and so they are spending the kind of money that's necessary to create miniseries that have a great look to them. The New Edition miniseries, you know, they spent time to find guys who could really move and sing like the guys in New Edition. They hired Lawrence Fishburne to play Nelson Mandela in Madiba, and they shot it in South Africa and on Robben Island, where he was in prison for many years. They worked with Mandela's grandson to create that show. They've hired John Singleton. They bought a show from him that's going to premiere, I think, in March. And these shows look and feel as high. They compare to anything that's on the networks, certainly. And that's always been the difference for BET. I think they've offered shows, and the production quality hasn't matched what you see on other quality cable channels or what you see on the networks, and it's always hurt them. And now they've gotten Viacom to step up with some money and really help them create shows that are just as good looking and just as well put together as any show, scripted show on any other cable channel, and they're being rewarded with viewership. You know, people are tuning into these shows and they're enjoying them, and so I'm glad to see that Viacom has realized that BET is an underutilized resource. And then if they put some money in the scripted programming, they'll be rewarded with viewership.
We're speaking with Eric Deegans. He is National Public Radio's TV critic. He is also a board member of the Peabody Awards that returns for its 76th season, the Cipriani Wall Street, on May 20th. We'll talk more about that a little later in the half hour. He joins us live from Washington, D.C., where NPR is based, and he is with us this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum, who is live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard on this Friday afternoon to wrap up the week with us on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment for Eric, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday on the program, among our guests, we'll have a former senior executive at Disney, who is now the head of Mobi TV, has got a lot to say about where smart TVs and smart device and virtual augmented reality on the TV set is going. Charles Nooney will join us. And then we have a very special post-President's Day edition on February 21st. My guest will be from the critically acclaimed Netflix series Chef's Table, creator executive producer David Gelb, and from Sun Records, the brand new miniseries premiering later this month on CMT, executive producer Leslie Griep of Think Factory Media. That's all coming up on a special edition of our show, Tuesday after President's Day. That's February 21st at a regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Let's go back to This Is Us. Why is this show, despite its ambition, making it? It just seems that people have really turned on to this program. I've turned on to the show in recent episodes, and it just seems that they're able, despite the fact that it shifts time so much, you never know like where the time is going in terms of time period, in terms of the plot line, that people are really taking this show to heart.
Yeah, well, first, I think it's a well-done family drama. And I've always been surprised that well-done family dramas don't do better on network television anyway. Parenthood always seemed to struggle for viewership when it was on. And I never quite understood that. But in a way, I sort of feel like shows like this should always have been successful. So it's good to see a family drama succeed. I do think that part of it is that they figured out a way to make characters that were very distinctive but also felt very relatable and that are also a little surprising. So when you watch an episode, these are characters that you want to get to know and that you're invested in, but the things that they do and the situations they face are still surprising. And because they're shifting constantly between when the three siblings are adults and back to when they were kids, there's a lot of different environments that the writers can play in, right? They're not stuck dealing with just the contemporary time period. They had a really affecting episode that aired a few weeks ago where basically they showed all the events leading up to the events in the pilot where essentially we saw the birth of the three characters who are adult siblings on the show now. So basically everything that kind of led up to the birth of these characters that we didn't see in the pilot, we got to see in this episode. And so it gives the writers a lot of options in terms of how they'll tell these characters' stories. And so, for example, we know that the father of these siblings is dead, but we don't exactly know how he died. And that's something that I think they're going to reveal in the course of the next few episodes. There's a lot, even though we know a lot about these characters, there's a lot we don't know. And by jumping back and forth in time, they're able to tell those stories in a lot of different ways that are sort of unexpected. And I think the secret sauce for a lot of modern TV shows is figuring out how to keep surprising the audience. Once you know the general confines of the story, once you know the characters, once you know how the show wants to go about telling its stories, then it's very hard to consistently keep surprising the audience. And you know, generally the way other shows have done it is you know, somebody gets married, or there's a love triangle that gets resolved, or, you know, there's conflict at the office or whatever. What This Is Us is able to do is it's able to jump back in time and say, well, you know, let's take a look at, you know, why Chrissy Metz's character has always felt so isolated from her siblings and from other kids her age. Oh, well, let's jump back in time and talk about all the struggles that Stephen K. Brown's character faced when he growing up as a black child raised in a white family. It gives them a lot of options in terms of telling stories that can keep surprising the audience and yet keep exposing them to these characters that they've grown to really appreciate and love. And I think that's sort of the secret ingredient that makes a hit show a hit show.
It was nearly a year ago that, because of what happened with the Oscars, one of the outgrowths of the lack of diversity with the Oscar nominees last year was that we saw the birth of all of these projects to try to get women of color, women, people of color, into television, whether it was We for She, We Did It Together, Direct Her, Made by Women, the Women in Film Project with the Blacklist, here in New York, the Main New York Writers' Room, and now the effort to get two women pilots, becoming a series here in New York on Channel 25. It seems that since we last talked that there's definitely been a real push to try to get more diversity on the air in all sorts of ways. And both of us know that, we've talked about this before, it is not a silver bullet thing. You got to address that at all sorts of levels. But it just seems that in the process, TV is becoming more ambitious. You look at a project like When We Rise, the ABC series about the birth of the gay, lesbian, transgender community. You look at something like Doubt, which is premiering next week on CBS, which has Laverne Cox of Orange and the New Black in a transgender role, which will be in a major role at that. You just get a sense that there is now a real push to try to get diversity all over the place.
Well, I think part of what we're seeing is the fruits of many years of advocacy and attempts to push the industry into being more diverse. So, you know, if you look at a project like When We Rise, you know, that's a miniseries that took quite a while to pull together, that ABC is airing, featuring Guy Pearce. And it basically tells a story of the modern gay rights movement and how it came to be in America. And you know, some of these advocacy efforts that you mentioned, you know, they go back a ways, and you know, women in Hollywood banded together to consider legal action against some of the film and TV studios, at least a couple of years ago, if I'm remembering right. So this is an issue that has been bubbling underneath the surface for a while, and I think we're starting to see projects that are the fruit of a process that has been underway for a while. So that's the first thing. The second thing I'll say is that success begets success, and the biggest change that I've seen in television. Well, I wouldn't say it's the biggest change, but one big change I've seen in television on this issue of diversity since I've been covering television, and I've been covering TV since 1995, one of the biggest changes I've seen is that success and diversity now encourages other people to do similar things or to push the issue further, and so it begets more diversity. There was a time in television when success and diversity was treated as a one-off and a fluke, and it didn't inspire a lot of copycatting, and then when there wasn't a lot of copycatting that worked, it would sort of stop. You know, famously, the people who starred in Roots, the miniseries, that was an incredibly successful miniseries. It was a project that basically kicked off the miniseries boom in 1970s television. But you talk to a lot of the black actors who were in that miniseries, and they will tell you that most of them did not get high-profile roles after that, because for some reason the success of that miniseries did not translate into more work for them as performers, in television, which sounds crazy these days. And at least what we're seeing now is I feel like the success of Transparent, for example, particularly in awards at the Golden Globes and at the Emmys, has inspired other TV outlets to try and create roles for transgender actors and try to create characters, transgender characters, that are realistic and can also tap into that that interest and that passion that was awakened by Transparent. And I think the same thing has happened in terms of racial diversity. You know, Black-ish is a very successful show. It's been successful in terms of ratings, and it's also successful in terms of awards nominations. And Tracee Ellis Ross, just won a major award for her work on the show. So that inspires other outlets to do similar programming because they see that there's a reward beyond people just saying nice things about you, that you can win an Emmy, you can win a Golden Globe, you can get higher ratings, you can land on influential critics' top 10 lists, you can be talked about as a creative force if you do this kind of programming. And now I felt like last year was about diversity, particularly regarding Black people. This year feels like diversity is reflected in women and looking at opportunities for women to star in shows, to work on shows behind the camera, to direct, to executive produce. There's a big push in the industry now to provide more opportunities to women, and then, you know, 2 years from now, we will see the fruit of those efforts. We'll see those directors and those executive producers and those writers and those performers. We'll see the shows that they created hit the market, and then all of a sudden it'll feel like, you know, we have all these shows involving women, but it's the result of a process that's starting right now.
And one of the things, Eric, that's wonderful to see is that we are now starting to see people of color who are stars form their own production companies to get more projects off the ground, whether it's Gina Rodriguez of Jane the Virgin, Regina King of American Crime, Viola Davis, Navigate with Murder, which we just mentioned has been renewed for another season now on ABC this fall. John Ridley, of course. We're seeing a lot of the filmmakers who are getting in who are doing, like, Ava Dubemeyer, et cetera, with Queen Sugar. We're seeing some of the Oscar-nominated independent directors of color getting involved with television. Of course, Tyler Perry started doing it a long time earlier, and he's going. So we're seeing like more and more people forming companies that begat more stuff. You mentioned John Singleton. This could be a breakout year for him in television because of not just Rebel, which I'm looking forward to seeing next month on BET, but also Snowfall, which is coming up on FX. And with speaking of FX, let's not forget Donald Glover of Atlanta, who that show is
right.
Marvelous, and he has a new deal. So it's like on and on and on. We're speaking with Eric Deakins, the National Public Radio TV critic. He's also a board member of the Peabody Awards, coming May 20th to New York for year 76. He's live with us this half hour from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Live to have you aboard. 31 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Eric? Don't be shy. Be in the conversation. Use this number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. You got the Peabody Awards coming up, and for you and all the other board members, this is going to be a tough process because you've got a lot of possible winners this year: American Crime Story, American Crime, OJ Made in America, Underground, Atlanta, and we could just do like 20, 30 shows that could certainly be like slam dunks.
Yeah, the bar has risen. And not just in scripted television. I mean, we've seen an explosion of programming on television and on platforms that the Peabody's pay attention to, including online outlets. And so our challenge is that there is just so much good content out there that we really should be paying attention to. And it's not just scripted shows, it's also documentaries. There's a ton of amazing documentaries out there, and they're not just airing on PBS or the networks anymore. Now they're airing on Netflix, or they're airing on Hulu, or they're airing on Amazon. So this adds up to a lot of stuff that we have to pay attention to. The judging starts in Ojai, California next week. And, it's going to be a daunting process. But the other thing that's great about this is that when you have so much good stuff, the cream still rises to the top. And I think our standards just get higher. So the shows that are going to get a Peabody this year are going to be some of the best shows that I think have been on television in a very long time, because the bar is set so high. You were talking earlier about the different people of color who have production companies who are making television. One of the things that seems to be happening in Los Angeles, and I was just out there in January, is that there's so many outlets that need quality, original, scripted programming that people, everybody who's experienced, who could create a production company, has the incentive to do it now, because there's so much demand for products. When you have, you know, PlayStation, when you have Xbox One doing original scripted content, when you have online platforms like Crackle doing scripted shows that are high quality, you know, well done, well produced shows, there's a demand for material out there that we really haven't seen before. And so that opens up a lot of new opportunities to people who previously might not have been able to get the resources together to form a production company, because now the market's out there. And so the unfortunate downside to that for all of us as viewers is that we have a whole lot more stuff to look at. And at the Peabody's, we're going to have a whole lot more stuff to choose from. But I think ultimately our roster of winners this year is just going to be amazing, because there is so much good television out there, and so much more good television out there that came out last year compared to the year before.
Yeah, and don't forget, coming up, we have new players like Full Screen, CBS All Access. We've got Apple. We have Facebook, who's just got the former head of programming at Scripted TV at MTV. Just really amazing stuff. Vimeo also trying to do their own service. And let's not forget, in 2018, Paramount Network, which will take over Spike. And we understand that they're going to do a lot more in Scripted. One other thing before I let you go, Pivot is no longer around. They did a highlight special. Has Peabody made a deal to get another network to carry the highlight special that you've done the last couple of years?
I'm not privy to that stuff, because my job is to be on the board that chooses the winners. And if I did know, I would not be able to tell you. So so that you're gonna strike out with that one. I appreciate the question. As a journalist, I certainly appreciate the effort to try and break news, but I don't know anything, and if I did, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
All right. Before we let you go, Eric, pick one or two shows that you're looking forward to seeing before the end of the year that are coming out beyond, let's say, the next month or so.
Well, you know, the problem is that it is really hard to think beyond the next couple of months, because there is so much programming coming. I just sent an email to some of my colleagues and my editors here at NPR, and every Sunday for the next 2 or 3 weeks, we have these clusters of debuts that are going to be tremendous. I mean, you know, John Oliver is coming back to new episodes on Sunday, and so is The Walking Dead. And I think we have another couple of premieres on that day. And then the following Sunday, the Good Fight, the spinoff from The Good Wife, debuts. I've seen the first two episodes of that. It's very good, and people are really going to enjoy it. But Big Little Lies also debuts on HBO with Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon. That's not as good, I don't think, but it's a new show. And HBO also debuts Crashing with Pete Holmes. And then you go to the very next weekend, and you know, we've got all kinds of stuff. Well, the very next, not the next weekend, but the next Monday after that, we're going to have When We Rise debuts on ABC, and that's going to run for the last few days in February and the first few days in March. And then we get to Feud, which I was telling you about with Ryan Murphy, and there's a cluster of debuts on March 5th. And then we're going to have The Americans coming back on March 7th. We're going to have Trial and Error, this mockumentary with John Lithgow on NBC on March 7th. It is just outrageous the amount of material that we have coming, even in the next month or so. So it's very hard for me to think down the road. What I can say generally is that I want to see what the networks come up with for fall. We will learn that in May. And they have to compete in an ever-crowded marketplace. This past fall, I think there was a sense that they had to create more quality shows. People were demanding better shows from networks, and shows like This Is Us and Pitch and even Designated Survivor. We got shows that were a little more ambitious and that were a little better done. I'm hoping to see them push that even further in May, so I'm looking forward to seeing what that's going to be. Like a show that I loved when it first debuted and have kind of lost track of, Orange Is the New Black, is due to come back in June, and we're going to see new episodes from House of Cards before that. Those are two shows that sort of help kick off the modern boom in quality scripted programming, and I really want to see where these shows are going. I think in recent seasons, they both not been as good as they could be, and fans have kind of lost interest in them, and so they're real challenged. I want to see how they're going to come back, and what kind of storylines they're going to tell. And I'm hoping, particularly in the case of House of Cards, that we're really going to see a show that speaks to the moment and gives us some of the thrills that we got in the first season. So I'm also looking very much forward to Netflix's version of The Defenders when they bring together Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and Iron Fist and Daredevil into a superhero series that would combine all these characters. This is the first time we've seen something like this where they're going to do what they've been doing in the Captain America movies and the Avengers movies, but they're going to build a TV series around multiple superhero characters that have each had their own TV shows. So I can't wait to see how that works out. But that's because I'm a comic book nerd, and I'm always interested in that kind of stuff.
Me too. And one more thing, Netflix had a big event here in New York where they showcased a lot of shows that are coming up with a lot of key people. And one show that I'm looking forward to is Dear White People, based on the independent movie Major Success. The creator of that film is involved. Lionsgate is doing it. I think it's got a great chance to work. And I'm also looking forward to, and they haven't announced it yet, She's Gonna Have It, the Spike Lee film that he is going to produce. It's about time Spike Lee do a television, scripted TV series, and looks like he will finally do it before the end of this year. You can catch Eric's work at National Public Radio on a regular basis. Check your locals for the NPR station near you. In some markets, there's more than one. If you want more details online, go to www.npr.org. It's www.npr.org. And for more details about the Peabody Awards coming for Time 76, May 20th at Cipriani's Wall Street here in the Big Apple, here's where you go, www.peabodyawards.com. www.peabodyawards.com. Believe me, they have the best of the best there. It's an extraordinary night. I'm looking forward to covering it and seeing you in person there. Eric, thanks again for a great time. It's a pleasure to have you return, and all the right best. Great viewing between now and May, and I look forward to seeing you here in the Big Apple for the Peabody's on May 20th.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. A pleasure. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Bye now.
Eric Deegan, TV critic of National Public Radio, board member of the Peabody Awards, joining us live from Washington, D.C. When we come back, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. We have a winner, our second winner of the year. We'll tell you also what the answer was. And it turned out there were two answers that came through in the nick of time. One of them was a winner. And also, I'll have a comment about the changing of the Olympic guard at NBC nearly 1 year from now. But first, after the bottom of the hour, we pause for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the show about the world of reality unscripted TV. It's Reality TV Wrap-Ups. Nothing like it, and you can catch it various days every week right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, Best of HBR available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. You also catch our show and other Blog Talk Radio programs. Watch and see and hear them on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, Get it at a local Apple store near you or order it online. Well, Max and Bobby televised this Friday afternoon, the 10th of February, 2017. Simon Applebaum, who is live from New York, glad to have you aboard. To get involved in the action, just give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Well, our classic trivia question of the week, the answer, and who is our latest winner, and what they're going to get, and a thought or two about the change of the Olympic Garden primetime on NBC. Bob Costas departing, and Mike Tirico coming in next year in South Korea. Before we get to that, we have some words from the fine people at Audible.com. This is Black History Month, and a marvelous piece of Black History writing you can find is Up From Slavery by one of the giant people in this country's history, Booker T. Washington. And now you can pick it up through Audible.com. It's one of the many, many selections you can read and hear for Black History Month, and a great sound experience it is as well. That's what Audible.com is all about. That's why it's the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook like Up From Slavery by Booker T. Washington, or one of your choice, a 30-day trial, and great customer service because audible.com is owned by Amazon.com. So get a great sound experience that maybe can last a lifetime. Check it out. Audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com, an Amazon company. And now it's time for the answer to this week's Patrick Trivia question we posed on Monday. And I'm happy to say we have our second winner of the year, Doug Klein Jr. of Leesburg, Ohio. And he came through in the clutch along with somebody else with an answer. And his answer turned out to be the right one. The question was this. Name the first sport covered on ABC's Wide World of Sports back in 1961. The answer, track and field. In fact, host Jim McKay, who had a great run with that series, one of the best sportscasters ever, started the series with not one, but two track meets to cover. One of them, the Penn Relays, and there was another one also close by as well. So track and field was the answer. And Doug Klein Jr. of Leesburg, Ohio got it, and he is going to win a wonderful DVD set from Warner Brothers, the complete first season of Murphy Brown with Candace Bergen in her wonderful award-winning role. All 22 season one episodes. So Doug, congratulations. And incidentally, we had another answer that came through in the clutch with a few hours to spare. It came from someone else who thought that cliff diving was the answer, and I can understand why, because early on in Wide World's run, there was a lot of the Acapulco Cliff Diving Championships, one of the great annual attractions of that show. So, good guess, not the answer. The answer again from Doug Klein Jr. of Leesburg, Ohio, it's track and field. Specifically, two track and field meets on the opening episode back in 1961, one of them being the Penn Relays outside Philadelphia. Congratulations, Doug. The complete first season of Murphy Brown DVD set from Warner Brothers is on its way to you. We will have another classic trivia question for you on Monday's episode, and if you are first with the correct answer, you might just win a prize, just like Doug Klein did today. How do you get involved? Well, you hear the question, and if you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your mailing address. And if you miss the question on Monday, no problem. I'll post it on Tuesday on my Facebook page and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, like Doug Klein Jr. showed, in order to win, you got to be in. Congratulations, Doug, and all the very best to you. So before we go, now a comment. You probably know by now that there will be a changing of the guard in primetime Olympic coverage on NBC next year in that host chair. Bob Costas, after about a quarter century in that role, succeeding the great late Jim McKay, will be departing that role. And when the next Winter Olympics happen less than a year from now in South Korea, Mike Tirico, who came aboard NBC from ESPN last summer and did the Rio Olympic Games as daytime host, will be in the primetime chair. One thing you have to say about Bob Costas is he timed it beautifully, and more importantly, it was his call. He made it very clear yesterday on the Today Show in a press conference that was called the 30 Rock in the middle of a snowstorm here in the Big Apple, and then later on a conference call that I was on, that it was his call, that he is not going away from television. He, as he likes to say, it's not a leaving TV, it is a transitioning of TV. And the great news is that he will continue to be involved with television. He will host one more Super Bowl on NBC next February before the Olympic Games. He may do the Triple Crown from NBC this year, and he's hoping to do more games for MLB Network and some other projects. In fact, he is going to become sort of NBC Sports equivalent of Tom Brokaw, the so-called statesman role, and that's a really good thing. So it's nice to know that Fox Costa is going to stick around in television for a long, long time to come in various capacities. And it's also wonderful to know that Bob wasn't pushed out. He wasn't forced out. He made the call, and he made the decision. Nobody wanted him to leave. I'm sure of that. But if there's somebody who could take it over, it's certainly Mike Tirico. I've enjoyed his work on NBC for years, on NBC this past year in Rio, his other stuff on golf and on Thursday night and Sunday night football games, replacing Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, et cetera, et cetera. So I think Mike, over his wonderful time with ESPN and other things before that, he definitely has what it takes to take on that anchor role, and I have no question that he will do a marvelous job. But there is one thing still remaining, and it's this. Whatever you think about the host role, there's something that should be said, and that is that NBC's Olympic coverage over the years has been down, down, down in the ratings. Why? For a very simple reason. Because the people in New York, the people in Chicago, the people in Los Angeles, the people in Detroit, the people all over the major cities of this country find the Olympics more and more an afterthought. And it's not NBC's fault totally. The fact is the media do not cover Olympic sports the way they used to. And whether it's figure skating or snowboarding or track and field or gymnastics, let's face it, it doesn't get the coverage on a local basis and a national basis that it used to. So even with the change, NBC still has an issue, which is how do we get more people involved? How do we get more people in the major cities watching the games? Well, I have two suggestions for you, NBC. Number one, stop not promoting the games in the major markets. Get those bus posters and subway signs and light rail signs and spots on all your networks and on all your stations in the major cities. Do not take the big cities for granted. That has been a big problem. It's time to stop doing that. Maybe if you stop doing that, you would have a better shot. And by the way, something else too. Don't take the press for granted also. Do press conferences. Do conference calls in New York, in Chicago, in L.A., wherever you can, so that we know who the talent is, and more importantly, we know who the athletes are, not just the U.S. athletes, but the athletes all over the world that hopefully will shine a year from now in South Korea for the next Winter Olympic Games. But here's the other thing that I think should happen, which is this. In case you don't know, NBC is going to launch an Olympics channel the second half of this year. 24/7 coverage of Olympic events, live and tape, plus documentaries and other original programming about the Olympic movement, Olympic sports, and stars. So how about this? Why not use Bob Costas in Olympic Channel statesman's role? Use that statesman Tom Brokaw situation and have Bob Costas do some stuff on the Olympic Channel. And how about having Mike Tirico host some of the major events or some of the U.S. Olympic trials leading up to the Winter Games so that he can get his feet wet in the primetime anchor role? Why not? Hey, you're going to do it. Why not start off with your best talent? And Bob Costas and Mike Tirico are your best talent. So two things for you, NBC. Number one, promote, 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 and don't have the big cities be an afterthought in the promotion. Go all out. You haven't done it in a long time. It's time to do it. And secondly, use the Olympic channel. Put Bob Costas and Mike Tirico and your other key players like Dan Hicks, etc., on the Olympic channel on a regular basis. You might just find it will be a great way to rev up the interest all over the country for these games, not just the Winter Games coming up next year, but for the games beyond that. Well, that's our program for today. I want to thank Eric Deegan of National Public Radio and the Peabody Awards for joining us. We don't know yet who our guests will be on Monday, but we will let you know through Facebook or Twitter. And then coming up next Friday on Tomorrow We Tell Lies, a former Walt Disney senior executive is now the head of Mobi TV, and what used to be a mobile service is now going to become a television service. We'll find out from the CEO of Mobi TV, Charles Nooney. And that's next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow We Tell Lies. Then a wonderful post-President's Day edition on Tuesday, February 21st. My guest will be from the award-winning Netflix series Chef's Table, creator and executive producer David Gale, live from Los Angeles. And from the new CMT miniseries, Sun Records, formerly known as Million Dollar Quartet, executive producer and head of Think Tank Media, the production company behind it, Leslie Greek, who's been on the show before. It's all coming up Tuesday, February 21st, day after President's Day, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Remember, if you came in on today's show late, or you want to catch up an episode you missed, and a lot of you have over this week, we've averaged about 200 replays so far going into today, and we thank you all for that. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, wherever you are on this Friday afternoon, listen to us on the weekend thanks to our podcast. You can find it at iTunes.com, and as mentioned before, Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. Either way, you can download it to your smartphone or tablet, take this on the go, share it with others, and we do appreciate that. So check out the podcast, iTunes.com, and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. Once again, if you own an Apple TV, order it online or go to an Apple store near you. We'd love to hear what you think about our program today. What's your thoughts on what Eric had to say about his choices of good TV in the months ahead? What's your thoughts on where diversity is at and where it's going in television and the whole TV scene overall? We'd love to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, that's how you get involved in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And remember, if you're like Doug Klein here in Reedsburg, Ohio, you win by being in. So use that email to get involved. We'll have a new question for you on Monday. And also, remember that we have a feature that we do regularly called The Show to Know. Is there a TV series or project you think deserves more attention? It's not getting it? Well, let me know. If we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. Simple as that. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, you also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. At UBT Simon TWBT. That's at UBT Simon TWBT. However you communicate with us, it's all appreciated. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toth, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We'll Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, for a free audiobook and 30-day trial of their service, go right now to audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We'll Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. If you're in an area that has the snow, show out in great shape and have a wonderful weekend no matter where you are around the country, around the world, listening on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, we are back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Of course you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Be safe and be great out there. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.